This is the Get Better Everyday podcast with Matt Gouget. Actionable advice from real-life superheroes who, just like you, are in relentless pursuit of the best version of themselves. Whether you're just getting started or have been at it for years, my hope is that this podcast injects you with some positive energy to continue doing what brings you joy. Join me as I interview the best of the best in business, sports, and life. Let's grow together.
Hi, I'm Alex.
And I'm KJ.
And we're the producers of the Get Better Everyday podcast.
Do you like podcasts? Well, then hit us up. IkePodcastNetwork.com. We'll help you build your show.
All right, Matt Gouget, Get Better Everyday podcast. I'm excited to have my guest today, Dana Diaz. Got quite the story. And why I think that this is important, I know that part of the Get Better Everyday listener base has got momentum and things are going great and they're trying to continue to get better every day. But I know there's also plenty of people out there, literally had this conversation with a good friend of mine yesterday, that are struggling, that are hurting, and they think they're the only person in that position. Had this conversation literally yesterday with somebody about like, man, we're all going through some shit, right? And so I love what you're doing, sharing your story and talking about, you know, things that others might be afraid to share, but me knowing that by sharing it, somebody's going to hear the story and go, you know what? I'm not alone. I'm not alone in you know, the challenges of life. So thanks for joining me today. I appreciate it. How you doing?
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. And I'm doing great today. And thank you for what you said, because that's exactly why I did choose to speak out after finally getting out of 4 decades of abusive situations, because I, honest to God, thought that I was the only one. And if I had known that other people experienced it, I don't know why. I don't know if it's a misery loves company thing, but at least you know that it's not like, because I internalized it. I thought there was something wrong with me, that I was unlovable or insufferable, or just, you know, you all these things go through your head when you're being abused and people are telling you what a terrible human being you are and treating you like you're insignificant and undeserving and all these horrible things. And so that is exactly the reason why I'm doing this, is to just reach out and say, I have been there. It sucks. But let me tell you, hopefully most people can safely get out. And if you can, it's so much better on the other side. You know, there is potential to have a beautiful life, no matter what your circumstances are.
Yeah, for sure. We'll share links and stuff to your book, but I'd like to start there, you know, because I know that the experiences led to the book. Yes. And so, you know, Gasping for Air, The Stranglehold of Narcissistic Abuse, which I'm going to pick up some copies. And I always love sharing stuff with people, you know, because I think when you see humans suffering and you notice it, I think that's a first step in like, oh, somebody, you know, understands me. Somebody understands that I'm going through something. And it, you know, the whole mission of Get Better Every Day is somebody somewhere is going to take one step in the right direction. And no matter where you're starting, for me in 2011, you know, exactly 12 years ago, I was in a pretty dark place. And one step in the right direction, which has continued for 12 years, thankfully, you know, clear eyes, full heart, can't lose, has been amazing. And I know that it's possible for anybody. So let's start with the book and tell us, you know, as much or as little about your story and what prompted the book, as you'd like.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm willing to share everything, but it's hard to put 25 years into a short conversation or a short book. But I keep hearing it's a page turner. So people are getting through it pretty quick. People are telling me they're not going to work and staying home to read it because they can't put it down. And that is not my intent. But yes, the book itself basically just covers the 25 years I was with my ex, from the day he walked in my life to after he walked out of my life, because unfortunately it got most violent after the fact. But, you know, the interesting thing is that I was abused as a child, which is a whole other book that we're working on. But being raised by a narcissist, I should have known I was walking into another abusive situation with a narcissist. And I sensed it. I saw the signs. I saw all the red flags. Honestly, I couldn't stand the guy the second I met him. The very first time I met him, I thought he reminds me of my abusive stepfather. No way, no how, not going to happen. And 25 years later, a lot happened. You know, there's a lot to it. Narcissistic abuse is really one of the more traumatic forms of abuse because it's all encompassing. Everybody knows what physical abuse is, verbal abuse, psychological abuse. But when you're with somebody in a narcissistic situation, especially a romantic one, you have sexual abuse that happens. You have financial abuse when your, you know, finances are controlled or manipulated or restricted, or maybe they force you not to work or to work too much. You know, there's all kinds of things there. There's also legal abuse where they're constantly threatening you, you know, that they're going to take away your kids. They're going to leave you. You'll never see your kids again. They have attorneys, they have people, they have money. You're basically being threatened every single day of your life. And you might also have the domestic violence situations, and you might also have all these other, you know, the gaslighting and the manipulation and all these things happening. And people say, well, then why do you stay? Well, because sometimes they love you too. Sometimes they can be so sweet and you're laughing and you're having a good time and they're very affectionate and they say all the right things, but then they turn on you. And it's this constant push and pull that keeps you in because you know they have good in them. So you try to evoke that out of them. But every time you turn around, the bad stuff happens to make you question why you're staying. But you know, you stay at the end. You know, once you have your lives are combined, you have children, you have a house, your families, anybody, even not in an abusive situation, wouldn't just up and walk away. Most people will try or will hope or wait or see if they can, you know, try to make something different out of the relationship, make the best of it. But unfortunately, that didn't work. In my case, because it just got worse. You know, narcissists like to be first and foremost at the forefront, get all the attention, all the admiration, all the praise. They have to be it. And my ex was it. And I still failed at that based on the way he treated me. But after we had our son, it went completely downhill. He could not handle that I was giving, you know, this other human being, never mind a newborn baby, all of my time, attention, and love. So it just completely spiraled downhill from there.
Yeah, man, there's a lot in there. And, you know, I'm no psychologist. I think that I've got certain skills, you know, when it comes to, you know, math and maybe sales and some interpersonal, you know, skills to a certain degree. But what's fascinating to me is that, like, human relationships are complex.
Yes.
And so as you're saying it, I'm thinking to myself, I get it, right? Like, I like to see the good in people. So people can act a certain way, be like, you know what? Like, they were acting that way because of X, Y, or Z. And right. And I could see how easy it could be to justify someone's behavior. And then you intermix kids, finances, all the things, like, you know, in my mortgage job, I'm no psychologist, but I deal with families that are like, hey, it's going to be really hard to disband all of this life that we've built together.
Yeah.
And so there's hope that maybe it'll get better. Maybe if, you know, my partner gets help with, you know, anger or with, you know, some sort of addiction or something like that. So I think my question, and maybe what, you know, listeners might glean some value, is how do you know, or how would you counsel somebody when, like, it's just not going to work, right? You're in a relationship that you've tried things and, you know, despite being an eternal optimist that somebody's going to change, when are you like, all right, they've showed me who they are and it's time to figure out how to exit this relationship?
Yeah, that's a tough one because I was that person. I mean, I was always trying to make lemons out of lemonade, especially when you have a kid. You're like trying to make it not seem so bad and try to delude yourself even so that you can stay that one more day, but it just never gets better. You know, it's really hard. Unfortunately, from what I have seen, especially if somebody is actually being abused, you know, in a violent situation at home, they're not going to just up and leave. There's nothing you can really say or do to convince them that they should. They have to have enough. The problem is, especially with narcissists or anybody who's abusing another human being, they have made their victim feel so deficient and so incompetent and so incapable that people honestly, the way that it's almost brainwashing, the way that victims are, you know, made to internalize these feelings. So to go somebody and say, oh, but you have all this value, you could be doing this and you should this and you should that, they don't see it. They have to see it themselves. You know, in my case, it just took it for everybody. There's that thing, that deal breaker, that thing that's that last straw that you're just like, that's it. And again, it doesn't make sense to people, but it wasn't when my ex swung a crowbar at my head and missed because I ducked. It wasn't a prescription pill situation where I was drugged to the bathroom and left there to hopefully die, but then I woke up. It wasn't him trying to kidnap my son in the middle of the night. It wasn't the knife. It wasn't, you know, it's all these things. What it was when I got sick. I actually became so physically ill that I dropped to 93 pounds. I couldn't breathe. I needed an oxygen machine and a backpack to breathe. I was struggling with so many things. My doctor said my body was shutting down. And it was all because of the cortisol, which is a stress hormone that was running through my body at such high rates for so long because of the chronic stress I lived under, that when my doctor said your body is shutting down, you're going to die if you don't make a change. You know, they could throw prescription pills at me, but I needed to make a change. And that was it for me. That was when I said, okay, is this man worth my life? Is this worth suffering the rest of my life? Because in my head, I thought he is going to have a sick wife that he's going to have to take care of. In the meantime, he has made death threats. He's even told our neighbors he wanted to kill me. So why would I let this man take care of me? I needed to get out. So that was my deal breaker. That is when I had to lay there. I stayed in the basement on the couch because I wouldn't sleep in the same bed with him. And I said, what do you want, Dana? What do you want your life to look like if you could have anything? And I mean, anything would have been better than what I was in. But I answered myself. I had a vision of if I could, I wanted to use my degree in journalism. I wanted to be a writer. I wanted to, I don't know, be in a loving, happy marriage where somebody actually reciprocated what I gave them, you know, simple things. I didn't think like I was asking for much, but it was too much to ask from somebody who couldn't let me succeed or feel joy, or, you know, I had to be diminished for him to be powerful. So that was not going to work. But I think when I did open my eyes and just said like, yeah, this is not like, I don't want to go out. And like, that was it. I wanted to be more. I wanted to live my life, not his life. And that's when I had to just make the change. And unfortunately, I suffered for it. And people that are in a situation, you know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's very common that in an abusive situation, if you are able to escape safely, it very often becomes more violent or most violent after a divorce or after a breakup. But as long as you're prepared and you can, you know, continue to stay safe and have people supporting you, you can endure it and it'll be okay.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you for sharing that. Cause like, as I was listening to it, like it wasn't the crowbar. It wasn't this, like,
no.
I could only imagine. And, you know, decades long, a couple things come to mind. One, my wife loves crime shows and like, oh, okay. Thank God you're still here. Right. Because I know these things don't always end.
No, they don't.
right?
No, and, we watch a lot of 48 Hours and stuff like that, true crime around here. And almost every time I'm very happily remarried, my husband will look over and say, God, that sounds like your ex. And I'm like, yep, dare I say the N word. And by N, I mean narcissist. But yeah, there's a lot of them out there. And actually a very significant percentage of the prison population in the U.S. do have narcissistic qualities. They are considered to have narcissistic personality disorder. So it is something that is related to crime.
Yeah. I mean, I could see that too. And you know, your story, what stuck out to me as well is like stress levels and environment can literally kill you. Like your body was shutting down and with cortisol levels. And so, you know, whether it's an abusive environment, whether it's drugs and alcohol, whether it's other things, right? Like environment is very important thing in life. And if you're in the wrong environment, go in the wrong direction, hopefully, you know, something with this podcast sparks you to take a step in the right direction. And speaking of taking a step in the right direction, I'm curious, like anybody who makes a drastic change in life, I know it's not easy, whether that's, you know, a job change, whether that's going through a divorce or whether that's, you know, I talk to people and, you know, they've got traumatic events in their life where they're, you know, losing children. Can you maybe take us through what that was like and maybe even some advice on leaving that? And, you know, there's this big bad world out there that's new to you, I would imagine, because you've been in what sounds like, through your description, a little bit of a psychological,
I was in a prison. As a matter of fact, my ex at one point in my marriage told me that our house was my prison. And it's very typical with narcissists to physically, geographically isolate you as well. I was moved 90 miles away from any friends and family I'd ever known to a small town. And I was a big city Chicago girl, small town. I couldn't even be friends with the next door neighbor because he didn't like it. He made it very difficult. He made it difficult for me to go to church on Sunday. Every Sunday, it was a fight when I was leaving. Everything was a fight. I couldn't talk on the phone in the house. If my phone went off with a text message, I was screwing somebody. So it was just easier. He just made it so difficult that just to keep the peace, especially for my kid, fine. I won't talk to anyone. I won't go anywhere. I went to work and I came home. The end. If I went so much as to Dollar General for cat food, I was timed and he had all these video things all over the property. He had GPS trackers. I was monitored and questioned and accused and interrogated. So yeah, it was pretty damn stressful. It was pretty stressful. I'm so stressed out right now thinking about it that I forgot your question.
Well, the good news is you're free. You're out of prison, right? And so, so my question is basically like, how do you learn to live on the outside, right? You're an inmate
who's been released. Yeah. You know what? It's kind of a sink or swim thing. You know, for me, I was really lucky because he had made some mistakes in trying to, you know, in his entrapment of me, he didn't follow through on his end, like thinking of the consequences. So for the last 4.5 years of our marriage, he had just up and decided he didn't have to work anymore. He told me it was my turn to be the breadwinner. And I thought, my turn? We've both been breadwinners this whole time. You don't even allow me access to any money that you make. So I've always had to make my own money and I made good money. But for the last 4.5 years, I was the sole income earner in our house. Mistake number one for him, because now I had financial independence, which most narcissists will not allow that because they don't want you to have a way to leave. And once he figured out I was going to leave, you know, then he started to, you know, make false promises, want to work things out. Suddenly he was perfect and wonderful. And I wasn't stupid enough to fall, you know, for it. And unfortunately, a lot of people do fall back. I'd done it before because I thought, well, we have this investment of time and children and everything else. In my situation, however, the irony of all this was that when I finally did call an attorney and say, I'm done, I'm over this, get me the hell out, a week later, while I was trying to get all the stuff together I needed to get together to file for divorce, we went into the shelter in place for COVID. So now not only could I not file for divorce because the courts were closed, I was stuck in our house with this man who had threatened to kill me. So it was interesting to say the least. It almost turned into, you know, like the show Survivor, like who's going to make it out of this alive. But that's when I started keeping a record in a notebook of everything he was saying, every bad interaction we had. I basically just lived in the basement at that point, but I kept this notebook under the cushion in the basement couch, because I thought if anything happened to me and he made it look like an accident or got away with it, there somebody should be able to find that notebook eventually and know that, you know, it was him. That notebook is what eventually became the book, because I wanted to remind myself of, you know, all these things that happened and kind of demonstrate that to other people. Like you see on the outside, we're showing up at our son's t-ball games and at his golf meets in high school, and we're smiling and we're eating hot dogs and carrying cupcakes around. Happy family, not so much. What goes on behind closed doors is very real and very different from what the outside world sees. So it's really hard. You know, I always tell people, you're never going to convince somebody to leave a relationship. But if you do notice, because I had one lady at church, that an older lady that sat behind me in the pew right behind me, it was just a touch on the shoulder, like a squeeze, like, I know, I see your pain. That's all you can do for somebody, because if they know that you get it in some way, or at least that you see them, that you see what's really going on, then maybe that'll give them the courage to come to you and confide, you know, what's going on. And at that point, then you can maybe refer them, you know, to some community resources as far as, you know, an attorney they can talk to about what their options are. Not necessarily to file for divorce or get out of the relationship, but I think people need information in order to make the better decisions for themselves. Nobody can tell them what to do, but if they know, okay, I can leave here and I will likely have my children and I will, you know, have a place to live. But there are some cases, you know, like mine, I told the attorney when it came down to it and the courts reopened, I said, I'm not fighting over anything. He could have every single penny I have. He could have everything we own. I just want my kid and I want out. Just get me out of here. And she tried to advise me against it, but, you know, it wasn't worth it. And, you know, I've met a lot of people along the way since publishing this book that have shared their stories. And, you know, I've heard some horrific things, but some of the more severe situations, people are just taking their children and going out on the street. And all I can tell anybody, and I say this to everybody, I promise you, there are people out there that even if the worst case scenario that you're sitting on the street, whether it's you and four kids or you by yourself, if you are safe and you're okay, that's better than what you're in. There are people like me and like you that will give the clothes off their back. They will give you money to go eat. There are food pantries. There are shelters. There are all kinds of organizations that will help you get back on your feet. You will not be alone in this. People do want to help you.
I love that. I love that. I think that's a great place to end it. And thank you so much for sharing your story.
Absolutely.
You know, I agree wholeheartedly with everything you said, and hopefully, you know, somebody hears this, somebody's going to read your book, and, you know, it's truly going to save their life. Cause, like you said, there's so many people out there. Yes. They think they're alone. They think that, you know, it's something wrong with them, and, you know, you're not alone.
It's not,
you know, it's nothing wrong with you. And so
there's something wrong with the people that are intentionally causing you harm, but you can get through it and you can get past it. And there's unfortunately a lot of us out there, but a lot of us have made it out on the other side. So it'll be okay.
I'm glad you did. Thank you so much for sharing. I'm going to share links in the show notes to the book, to your website, to your social and whatnot. So thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate the conversation.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
This is Matt Gouget. Just wanted to give you a quick thank you for listening to the Get Better Every Day podcast. Hopefully you're inspired to go out there and get better every day. If you could, please do us a huge favor and leave a 5-star review if you found any value in this. Share it with your friends. Again, thanks for listening, and go out there and get better every day.